All right, well, good afternoon. How's everyone doing? You guys ready for the word? All right, well, let's get ready to dive right in today. We got a lot going on. We had a great first service. We obviously have service here together. We are then going to have our annual general meeting immediately following service. So just a quick instruction on that. That's for anyone who's a member of Toronto City Church. And members, please stay present, even if you do need to go somewhere a little earlier. We do need at least 50% for quorum, and there's a few people who have taken up sick and other things. So members, please, if you are not currently a member, but this is your church family and you'd like to learn some more about the business side of our church, we're going to go for about 45 minutes. The kids can stay in the back, and you're welcome to stay. And you're welcome just to join us for the meeting if you'd like to, and just to learn some more about what we do and how we do things as a church. Please remember as well, tax receipts are available. So anyone who gave through 2019, your tax receipt is going to be out in the lobby at the table. And so you just want to grab that. If you don't get it this Sunday, we will put it in the mail. So it will get to you. It'll just be coming in the mail. So obviously it'll just make your life easier, probably ours a little less mail to send if you just grab it today. Actually, let me make sure I mention this as well. What we're going to do on a practicality side, just get this other members, we're literally going to close service. I'm going to ask that you don't leave. You just come to the front, and we're going to just immediately move into the meeting. And so we're just going to move forward with that. We've got a little bit of snacks to kind of hold you over. So just, I know some people believe in the anointing of snacks. So we have that for you. And we're going to do that, take care of that. We also want to mention we've got members of our church family who... A couple of them are attend Tyndale, and they're doing a food drive that is going to be going on right here. Awesome. And so if you, we're going to have a table out in the lobby afterwards, and for this week and next week, I believe, and the following week after, is it just this week and next week? Okay, so if you didn't have anything, because I know some people may have missed the memo, but bring something next week just so we can support a local food bank. That's going to be an awesome opportunity with that. And then last but not least, well, actually, as we saw, just a couple things. I want to make sure we get everything together. After AGM, School of the Spirit Level 2 is going to be happening at 3 p.m. So those of you who are involved in School of the Spirit Level 2, you've done Level 1. Even if you hadn't signed up yet, you could still sign up, just show up there at the class and be there. And then this Friday, everyone say this Friday. I really want to invite you and encourage you to come out to a very important part of what we do here at Toronto City Church, and that's our Altered Friday. And so that is going to be a night for prayer, for worship, for just seeking God together. And these nights are real important for us for to continue to press into what God is doing. I'm glad you're here on Sunday, but I want to encourage you, if this is your church family, keep moving deeper. And part of that is going deeper in prayer and worship. So I really want to invite you to join us. There is child care and ministry for the kids, but we need you to sign up online so the team can have enough workers. Please don't just show up with your kids. Sign up online and make sure we can do that. And then there is the School of Prayer, which is something else I'm very excited about. Pastor Sharon is going to be working on this, but it's going to be from 6:45 to 7:30. It's just going to be here, and you can come and you can learn more about growing in prayer. And so I really want to encourage everyone, these are the kind of things we need to engage in if we're going to take ground for the kingdom of God. Right, if we're going to move forward, if we're going to see what we're believing for, God's calling us to be a praying church, we have to be growing, we have to be moving forward in these things. And it's not just about our comfort, amen, but it's about our calling. And I want to encourage us in that. And so just make sure you're here Friday night at 7:30. All right, well, let's jump into the message. I'm going to pray. But the title of my message, as Jessica mentioned, we are continuing our series, Crossroads. And the title of my message today is The Law of Gigo. Somebody say The Law of Gigo. Now, I know a bunch of you are looking at me going, what the heck is Gigo? Listen to the message and you'll find out. So let's pray. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity we have to go into your word for these next few moments. Lord, I thank you that every one of us here, our hearts are open to hear and receive from you. Father, I thank you for your anointing that is on your word. Father, I thank you that every person here will not hear what I say as much as what you say to them through what I say. And Lord, I thank you that today we are not just going to be hearers of the word, but we are going to be doers in the name of Jesus. And everyone agreed with me said, amen. All right. My notes, as always, are available at brendanwitten.com. You can also get them at the Toronto City Church app. If you'd like to have them emailed to you, then just contact the office and let them know, and we'll put you on a list where you can get the notes emailed to you weekly. We always do post them up with the MP3s as well. I just want to make sure you can go deeper into the Word of God and go deeper into what's taught. So again, my title of the message today is The Law of Gigo. And just as we start into this, I've been doing this the last several weeks, but I just feel a grace and to do this in the Spirit in this season. But I want to remind you, first and foremost, that you have a destiny, a purpose, and a calling over your life. God has placed destiny and purpose and calling over every single person in this place. Every single person under the sound of my voice. If you're listening to this via MP3, if you're catching this in some other form or fashion, you have destiny, purpose, and calling over your life. Every one of you is significant. Every one of you matters. Every one of you has great things that God has placed inside of you. One of the enemy's lies for so many of us is the lie that says you don't matter. It's a lie that says there's not something great that God's called for you. Yeah, Pastor Brendan's got something significant, Pastor Sharon, so-and-so. It's kind of this superstar mentality, but that's not the kingdom mentality. The kingdom mentality is that every one of us has the Holy Spirit inside of us, and every one of us is called with purpose. Amen? Somebody say, I've been called. So you've been called. Furthermore, we are called to the purposes of God in our generation. Guys, God knew we were going to be born in this time and in this place with its advantages, its opportunities, and also with its challenges. And God already equipped you, and he's called you to the purposes in our generation, to his purposes. That verse comes from Acts 13:36. It's talking about David. When he died knowing and having served the purposes of God in his generation. And it's this heart and this call, and I want to see every one of you serve those purposes in your generation. I want to see you. Don't just survive. Don't just go through the motions. Don't just settle for kind of trying not to sin and hopefully I get to heaven and then let me just kind of. No, believe God and say, God, I want to be part of serving your purposes, my generation. Because of that, I want to remind you that you are a rescue ship Christian and we are a rescue ship church. I'm just declaring these things over you. What do I mean by that for anyone who's new? Rescue ships are very different than cruise ships. And I'm not against cruise ships. They're a great place for vacations. But they're not what you want to be on if you're trying to rescue people who are drowning in the water. You want to be on a rescue ship. Now, a cruise ship can become a rescue ship, but the entire nature of that ship will change if it's a rescue ship. Why? Because in a cruise ship Christianity, a cruise ship mentality, everything's about me. Is it comfortable? Do I like it? Is it nice? Is it easy? Is it convenient for me? When you're a rescue ship Christian, those are not your primary questions. Your primary questions are we reaching people? Are we making an impact for God? How can I serve somebody? How can I love somebody? That is who you are. Now, you may not know that yet. The devil may have got you to buy into a cruise ship Christianity where it's selfishly oriented all about us. But in Jesus' name, that's being broken off our lives. Amen? We are a cruise. We are a rescue ship church. You are a rescue ship Christian. And we're going for that. And because of that today, I just want to remind you, I am not here to entertain you, but I'm here to equip you. Right? If we're on a cruise ship, you're here to get entertained. But if we're on a rescue ship, we want to be equipped. We want to be ready for what God called us to. So are you guys ready to get to work? All right, let's get to work. The law of giggle. Again, you'll remember, and I want to warn you right off the top. Warning isn't really the right word. We are going through a lot of scriptures today. I put our media team to work in having to enter all these scriptures into the system. So get ready. We got some work to do. Our two core verses we've been working on for the last several weeks have been these. First, Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Everyone say, choose life. That you and your offspring may live. Secondly, in 2 Timothy 2:19-22, but God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold, silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions and the cheap ones for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, someone say it's a choice, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean and you'll be ready for the master to use you for every good work. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. And so you'll remember if you've been here the last several weeks, we've been talking about our choices. We've been talking about crossroads and choices that are in front of us in this season, but also the power and importance of the choices we make as followers of Christ on a regular basis. We've been talking about the choice we have as to whether we'll be an honorable vessel or whether we'll be a dishonorable vessel.
Again, we've laid the foundation that often we've bought into the perspective that I don't really have control over how much God works through my life or the impact I make for the kingdom of God. That's just God decides that. And most of us feel like I'm not one who's going to make a big difference. But we actually see from this verse in Timothy that we are the ones who choose whether we'll be honorable vessels or dishonorable vessels. And yes, there's plans and purpose for each one of us, but we still have a choice. Someone say we have a choice. And then last week we spent a lot of time, and I'd encourage you, if you missed last week's message, it's going to build into this one, so make sure you go and listen to the MP3. But we talked about the importance of turning away from evil. We talked about the importance of making some decisions in our life regarding holiness and regarding consecration, and that I am separated from sin unto God. Emphasis being separated unto God. And so we've talked about the power of turning away from evil. Again, just let's review verse 22 from 2 Timothy 2, which says, run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. And so I just want to remind you, first of all, there's some things you need to run from. We need to run from things that stimulate youthful lust, the scriptures say. We need to run from and turn away from wickedness. And this is a call on believers. It's not legalism. It is not kind of, you know, protectionism and just high out. No, it's a call in saying we're pursuing God and we're turning away from these things. And this leads us to the second point, which is there's things we need to run after. And I love to say this, but if you're busy running after what you need to run after, you're automatically going to be running away from the things you need to run away from. Right? Because you're pursuing God and you're going after God and you're filling your life with God. There's not a whole lot of space for too much else. Usually we get ourselves into trouble because we're not pursuing God. We're not pursuing purpose. We're not pursuing calling. When David fell into sin with Bathsheba, he was at home when he should have been out at the time when kings go to war. And often the enemy gets us because we've got into cruise ship Christianity instead of being on the cutting edge of pushing into what God has. I want you to be so full of Jesus and so full of serving Jesus that you don't even have time to sin in different areas of your life. Right? It's hard to be watching mess at midnight if you're getting up every day at 6 a.m. to pray.
Getting real quiet in the church right now, but that's okay. Right? We got to pursue. So don't focus so much on what you're pushing away. Focus on what you're going after. Make that your focus. That's what holiness is all about. It's pursuing God. That's what he's the Holy One. And so there's some things we need to run from. But there's things we need to run after. If we'll run after the things we need to run after, it's going to lead us very quickly into running from the things we need to run from. And then there's this last part. We touched a little bit on it last week. I just want to mention, but our companionship really matters. And I believe in this season, God is speaking to us about our core circle around us. Now, this does not mean that we need to just, anyone who doesn't know God, anyone who's not living for God, we just need to cut them off and get them completely out of life. Now, for some of us, if they're winning you more than you're winning them, you may need to create some space for a season so you can get strong in God. But your core relationships matter. Who has your heart? That's one of the reasons why, you know, the Bible talks about, like, even, like, when you're dating or looking to marry someone, you want someone who loves God like you love God. Right, your core relationships matter. Do not be unequally yoked is what the scripture talks about, but it's just very practical because you're pursuing something, especially in your core relationships. You want to make sure there's people are pushing you forward and they're pursuing God as well. It's one of the things I love about Pastor Sharon is she loves Jesus and she's pursuing Jesus. And neither of us are perfect, but she inspires me in my walk with God. You know, I wake up every morning because she's better at mornings than I am. But I wake up every morning, and she's up. She's praying. She's on her piano. She's seeking God. Sometimes she's hit the gym, too. I mean, she does much better than I do sometimes in the mornings. But there's this inspiration. So you want to know, and I just feel, actually, I feel like the Lord's saying, he wants to speak to me. It's about, what's the companionship? And maybe for some of us, you're getting tripped up right now because there's some people. You know, how would I say it this way? I'm not saying that people need to completely get out of the car, but you don't want to necessarily put them in the navigational seat of your life anymore. Does that make sense? Right? Like, there's just certain things that you've got to know who's in the right positions and places in your life, and I believe God wants to talk to someone to change that. But here's where I want to go today. I'm really going to teach today. There's a very strong teaching focus on this. I'm going to stretch you guys a bit. I really feel in this year, I want to stretch you in your knowledge of the scriptures. I want to stretch you in going deeper in the Word of God. Amen? I want to make sure we don't just want light, easy stuff all the time. Sometimes we'll keep it more, but I want to push you deeper. So today, I'm going to stretch you. I'm going to push you a bit. Somebody say, get ready.
And so I want to talk to you about, we're going to continue in this vein of crossroads, of choosing life. And actually, I want to talk to you, and I'm actually going to start, and it might not make sense at first, but okay, I want to talk to you about the biblical principle of seed time and harvest. Everyone say seed time and harvest. Now let's go. We're going to dive into some scriptures here. Let's go to Genesis 8:22. Genesis 8:22, the context of this verse is this is God speaking to Noah and to his family after they've come off the ark. So they've come off the ark. There's some things that God's establishing. He puts the rainbow in the sky saying, I'm never going to bring judgment on the world like this again. There was some promises. But in 8:22, he also said this, while the earth remains, everyone say, while the earth remains. So is the earth still remaining? Earth still remaining. All right. It says, there will be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So what this verse is talking about is it's talking about certain cycles, systems, or if I could say natural laws that God is making sure they know are established as long as the earth remains. And so we see that these natural laws or these natural cycles, we see there's cold and heat. How many know we still have cold and heat? Thank God today's a little warmer than it's been the last little while. Anyone else with me praying for spring to come quickly? All right, I'm praying for spring to come quickly in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We see that there's summer and winter, right? We still have summer. We still have winter. We see that there is day and night. How many know we still have day and night? See, it's talking about these laws, these principles, these things that are set into motion in the world we live in. It says these things. But also says this thing, there's going to be seed time and harvest. Now, what this is talking about is it's talking about one of the core laws that God has built into this world that we live in, which is that you take a seed, you sow that seed, and it's going to bring forth a harvest. There is so much in our world right now that is a result of seed time and harvest. Every piece of plant, vegetation, crop, anything you see is a result of seed time and harvest. The wood in this stage is a result of seed time and harvest. Every one of us sitting here are a result of seed time and harvest. Why? There was a seed that was sown. And so this is a principle that the scripture is talking about that is hardwired or built into the world that we live in. Now, someone says, okay, great, well, where are we going with this? I want you to know today that this principle is not just a natural principle, but it also is a spiritual principle. There's so many things in the kingdom, if you look at this, what we see in the natural is actually a type or it's a shadow of the reality of the spirit. And so it is a spiritual law, not just a natural law. Now, maybe some of you are still, well, I don't know, are you sure about that? Let's look at a few verses and I'll show this to you. Like I said, we're doing a lot of work today. Galatians 6, 7 verse to 9 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. And the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we'll reap if we do not give up. Do you see in that verse how this principle of seed time and harvest is very spiritual? It's not just crops or kids or whatever else. It's a spiritual principle. Let's look at another passage. We're going to just take this line upon line. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 10. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves the cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that you have all sufficiency in all things at all times and may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely. He's given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Verse 10, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Now, do you see again that seed time and harvest is a spiritual principle? Furthermore, we see that is a principle of giving. Sometimes people get kind of agitated when you talk about our finances or sowing a seed. And I know some people maybe abuse that principle a bit, but guys, it's here in the Word of God. This is the Apostle Paul who's talking about there can be seed time and harvest. Can I show you one more verse about this? If we go to 1 Peter 1:23, it says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. The translation on your screen says perishable or imperishable, through the word of God that lives and abides forever. So watch this, because we're going to make a shift here. So what we're doing is we're saying there's this principle that God has built into our world that's seed time and harvest. We are seeing that it is not just a natural principle, but it's a spiritual principle. And now we come to a very important understanding here, that the word of God is a seed. Everyone say the word is a seed. The word of God is a seed. And if I can expand it even beyond this, and I'll show this to you in the scriptures, the word of God is a seed. And actually that word perishable, it actually calls super seed. Like it's an indestructible, incorruptible, supernatural seed. But words are seeds. You have to catch this thing. Because again, we're talking about the spiritual principle of seed. But words are seeds. Everyone say words are seeds. And so we see that here. Now let's go to another passage. This is going to be a little bit of a longer reading. And we're going to go into this passage. But I want to read to you from Mark chapter 4. A very important parable that Jesus taught. And so we're going to go in Mark chapter 4. And we're going to start in verse 2. And it says, then he taught. We're going to read for a little bit here. So just read with me. And then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, the sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on the stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprung up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground that yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 10, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But those who are outside, all things come in parables. So that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Verse 14, the sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, but they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, they immediately stumble. Now these are ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Now, again, I think it's good sometimes just to take some time to read through the scriptures. But I want to take several pointers from this passage. First and foremost, I want you to catch in verse 13 where Jesus said to his disciples and thus to us, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? I want us to catch the gravity of that statement Jesus just made. In other words, he's letting us in on a revelation here. He says, this is like a master parable. That if you get the principles in this parable, it is going to help you understand every other parable that I teach. You know, here at Toronto City Church, for example, I don't have it with me. Actually, maybe I do have it with me. I think I have it here in my pocket. But I have a master key for the facility. And so one of my keys, the rest of the staff have it. There's many doors, many locks in this building. But our master key, my master key will unlock any door in this building. Now, there's other keys that will only unlock certain doors, but a master key will unlock it all. In other words, what Jesus is saying, he's saying, guys, this is a master key parable. If you will meditate in this parable, if you'll seek revelation out of the truths of this parable, it will help you unlock every other parable I teach. So I don't know about you, but for me, that gets my interest up. That gets my desire up to say, I want to meditate on this more. I want to pray on this more. I want to say, God, show me what you want to show me because you said this is really important. And so we see it's a master key parable. Number two, I want you to see again, verse 14, the sower sows the word. Everyone say the sower sows the word. So Bible says out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. We've seen again in the scriptures, the sower sows the word. The word of God is a seed. Now here's my question. We've got this seed of the word of God. Where does this parable teach us is the heart that the, where does this parable teach us that is the ground that this seed needs to be sown into? You should get this because I just gave it away. The heart. There we go right there. A plus to my brother on the front row. The heart. Everyone say the heart. Right? Because how many know a seed isn't very good without ground to be sown into? Right, and so we see that the word or words are the seed. We see the soil that it gets sown into is our heart. Now, what does the Bible mean when it talks about the heart? We've talked about this at different times over our teachings. The heart refers to the inner man or the inner woman. It refers to who you really are. It refers to your spirit and your soul. We live in a body. We are a triune being. So the Bible says you are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. When the Bible talks about your heart, it's talking about the inner you, your spirit man, your spirit woman, yo, who you really are. That is the soil that the seed gets sown into. So again, we'll go in line by line here. We see that the Word of God and words in general are seeds. We see that there's soil that they're sown into, which is our heart. So here's the next question I have. How does the seed get sown into the heart? What does this parable teach us? How does the seed get into the heart? Verse 15, watch this. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. How did the word get sown in their hearts? When they heard it. Everyone say heard it. This is really important, guys. So the seed is words, our hearts is the soil, and it gets the seed, which if you think about it, makes sense, gets into our hearts when we hear the word. In other words, what I hear and what I see, which I'll explain in a second, is the gateway for seeds, spiritual seeds, to get into my heart. All right, now watch this. This is how the spiritual law works. Number one, everyone say words are seed. So words are seed. Number two, our heart is the soil. Everyone say, my heart is the soil. The seeds get into my heart through what I'm hearing or through what I'm seeing. And here's the last thing I want you to catch. Your heart is going to grow whatever is sown into it. Right? Hear that today. I want you to get this. This is really the key point I want you to understand. We're going to break this out. Your and my heart is going to grow whatever seeds we sow into it. It is going to grow whatever we sow into our heart. That's why Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Guys, that's not just some nice, pretty, you know, kind of proverb that really doesn't mean anything, but just sounds all poetic. No, it literally means, the Bible says, guard your heart, keep your heart, protect your heart. Watch what seeds are getting into your heart through what you're hearing and what you're seeing. Why? Because life is going to flow from your heart. Don't you remember when Jesus said, my spirit's going to come in, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water? Listen, he was not talking about a Care Bear stare in the spirit, right? He was not talking about just out of your, he's talking about, that's a phrase of reference that refers to your spirit, your inner man. And he said, there's going to be rivers of living water that flow from you. There's things that I want to flow from your life. There's things that I want, guard your heart for every, and the NIV says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So again, words are seeds. Our heart is the soil. What we hear and what we see determines what seeds are getting into our hearts. And our heart is automatically going to grow whatever is in there. Guys, that's the rule. Anyone here garden? Anyone here watch gardening on TV? Yo, you guys are awful here right now. I know we live in the city. I got like one hand for gardening on TV. Now, I don't garden either, so I really can't hate on you too much. But here's what I learned when I did have a house. Thankfully, I've got a condo townhouse now, so I don't have to cut grass. I don't have to shovel snow. I really enjoy it. But I remember, when you have a garden, what is your garden going to grow? Whatever you sow in it. Right, guys? This is the principle. The ground is non-discriminatory. Whatever you put into the ground is going to grow that. If you put an apple seed into the ground, ultimately it will take some time, but what is the ground going to grow? An apple tree. If you put orange seeds into the ground, again, thinking climate and everything else, what is the ground going to grow? Now, would it be ridiculous for you to plant an apple and then get mad because you didn't get oranges? Right? It makes sense to us. If you plant roses, what are you going to get? If you plant tulips, what are you going to get? If you plant dandelions, what are you going to get? Right? You're going to get dandelions. It's the principle here. Whatever you sow in, it is going to grow. And so what happens for so many of us, guys, is we need to understand this principle today, that what I see and what I hear in my daily life is actually seed that is going into my heart, and my heart is going to grow whatever seed I'm putting into my life. And so my question for you today, on this journey of crossroads, on this journey of consecration, on this journey of living our lives fully for Jesus Christ, on this journey of you're not a cruise ship Christian who's just looking to be comfortable and have life being easy, but you're a rescue ship Christian who's got a plan and purpose in your generation. Here is my question. What is your heart growing today? It's going to be growing whatever you sowed in it. So what have we been sowing in our hearts? See, what we so often do, remember we talked about our choices? So often we want to blame the God. We want to blame the devil. And I'm not taking out, there's a place that God definitely plays in all this because he's God. And I'm not taking away the element of spiritual warfare. But remember we talked about so much of it is our choice. And what happens for so many believers, my wife always uses the example, even when we talked about marriage, we were talking about with the couples last night at our amazing couples event, which was so fun. But we were talking about your life, your marriage is a garden. And what you have right now, the thoughts you have, the struggles you have, the weaknesses you have, the strengths you have, the things, so much of that is connected to what seeds you have allowed to be sowed into your heart. And so often we want to blame God or we want to blame the devil, but we actually should be blaming ourselves because we're only reaping what we sowed. But here's the good news. You have the power and you have the ability to choose life, and you have the power and the ability to say, I'm going to choose for the right seeds to be sown into my heart. I'm going to choose for the right things to be sown into my life. Why? Because then I'm going to start getting the right harvest. Stop blaming the devil for the harvest of the seeds that you sowed. Don't blame God for the harvest of the seeds that you sowed in your life. Take responsibility, but then begin to choose life. Someone say, choose life. So let's dig a little there. What's your heart growing right now, guys? Is your heart growing faith? Now watch this. I'll show you. This will click for a lot of you right now. Romans 10:17 says this, what? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Now remember, we said the word is what? The word's a seed, and we hear it, and it gets into our heart. And verse 10, Romans 10, verse 10 says, for with the heart man believes. So in other words, see the process. The word is a seed. When I'm hearing the word and I'm seeing the word, it starts to get into my heart. And what happens? My heart starts to grow that seed. When you plant word seed, what does your heart grow? Your heart grows faith. See, a lot of people have bought into the mindset, well, I just don't have very strong faith. I don't have as much faith as Paul does, or I don't have as much faith as, you know, Kelly does, or I don't have as much faith as, you know, so-and-so, whoever you say. Listen, and I guess God just didn't give me enough faith. No, it's how much word have you sown into your heart. The more words you sow in your heart, the more harvest of faith you're going to get. The less words you sow in your heart, the less harvest of faith you're going to have. Guys, I don't know about you, but this makes me say, I want to get the word of God into me as much as I possibly can. Why? Because I want to be strong in faith. My heart is going to grow whatever I put into it. But let's take this principle a little further. How about fear? Right? A lot of us struggle with fear in our lives. Maybe could I suggest that we look at what have I been watching? What have I been listening to? What have I been meditating on? Now, someone might be listening to me just going, oh, well, Pastor, wait a minute. You said it was words. What does that have to do with what I see? Well, let me give you a real quick example. I'll say a word. You tell me what you see. Bear. What do you see? A bear. How many of you saw B-E-A-R? One person in the first service put their hand up. I saw B-E-A-R. But no, you don't. You see a picture of a bear. You see Winnie the Pooh, you see a grizzly bear, you see some kind of, you see your teddy bear at home that nobody knows you have. I mean, you see, words are always connected to pictures. Right? It's interesting. If you went back 200 years, the only way words could really get into your life was either through them being spoken or you reading them. But then as technology progressed, we started to be able to create all kinds of ways for words and visual images to get into us, what we see, things that we hear. And so we've got to understand it's what we're seeing. It's what we're hearing. And so here's what some of you have done. You're like, God, why do I have so much struggle with fear? Why? Because you keep watching horror movies and you keep watching this and watching that and meditate on that and you still won't go to the bathroom by yourself like 4 years after you watched that horror. What happened? You watched and you listened to something. It sowed fear into your life and your heart began to grow that up in you and you get this. And here's the other principle of harvest. It starts small, but then it grows up big. Right? What are you watching? What are you listening to? My heart concern today is saying how many of us are sabotaging what God has for us in our lives because we keep sowing the wrong seeds into our life. What about lust?
Oh, it's getting quiet now. Everyone just froze up for a second, that one. As old Pastor, the devil just attacks me all the time with lust. He hits me with lust. Okay. But what about all that mess you watched this week? What about those movies with those sexual scenes? What have we been learning? What I watch, what I listen to, put seeds into my heart, and my heart will grow that. It's one of the reasons why I just will not watch a movie with a sex scene. It's because I'm a pastor and you can't do that? No. Is it because I have some kind of issues with sex? Definitely not. I rather enjoy it. My wife and I have a great sex life. Some of you embarrassed because I said that? Listen, Pastor Sharon and I have sex. We have great sex. We're good, all right? Right? Sex is a gift from God. I know some of you are like, oh my gosh, Pastor. Oh. It's kind of like mom and dad saying they have sex. Our pastors don't have sex, right? We have sex. We have great sex, all right? I have no problems with sex. But here's what I don't want. I don't want a whole bunch of lustful seeds getting into my, I have sex with my wife. I'm not watching some other woman have sex with someone. I don't want that. Why? Because it is going to affect me. It is going to get into my heart, and my heart is going to grow whatever I sow in there. So if I'm sowing lust in my heart, guys, what am I going to get? Come on. Right? I don't know, just legalism and this. You should listen, this is the principle. What you sow, you're going to reap. God is not mocked. So I just made a decision in my life. I got too much love for my wife. I got too much great things God's called me to do. Can I be really blunt? I can't sit here ministering to all the amazing women of God in this church, sisters in Christ, trying to battle off lustful thoughts because all this mess I watched throughout the week saying it doesn't affect me. It's not that big of a deal. There's too much that God's called us to. Right? And I'm not going to stick my head in the sand and play dumb, go, oh, it doesn't affect me. Right? It's making a decision. How about anger and rage? See, if I'm getting, what happened? The seeds get in. Your heart grows whatever you put in, guys. So here's, like, if some of you will just catch this, it will change your life. The reason you're struggling is you're sowing all kinds of wrong seeds and you're not sowing very many good seeds. And if you will just flip the script, it's not about being a super Christian. It's not about being like, oh, whatever, and super spiritual. No, it's you understand, I've got a garden that is my life. My heart will grow whatever you put in me. So I'm not going to sit here with all kinds of cussing and swearing and all this kind of stuff. I mean, if I'm out there on ministering to someone, then listen, I got a grace for that. But I'm not going to personally put all this stuff into me. Why? Because my heart will start to grow it. And some of you are spending most of your spiritual energy trying to deal with all the weeds you let into your heart in the first place. Why not just cut off all that mess, get a whole bunch of the word in you, get a whole bunch of faith in you, and all of a sudden you're living out everything God has for you. It's not God. It's not the devil. It's you choosing to choose life. Amen. Somebody say choose life. What if one, I got to land this plane, what if one of the enemy's main strategies as the God of this world was to get his seed into your heart and to stop you from putting God's seed in your heart? What if that's really what this was all about? Mark 4:24, he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. These are the words of Jesus. With the measure you use will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. Pay attention to what you hear. Pay attention to what you hear.
Philippians 4, 8, and 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's any praiseworthy, think on these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Guys, this is the word of God to us. Right? This is not just some kind of someone with their little thing. This is the scriptures. Psalm 101, verse 3. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. Didn't say I hate those who fall away. We love those. But I am not about that work. I'm not about it. Listen, I'm a Christian. You're a follower of Christ. You should be different. Right? You should be different. If one day all your people at work found you're a Christian, go, oh my gosh, I never would have known. There's a problem. Oh my gosh, you're a Christian? Oh my gosh, that's not a badge of honor, guys. Right? I'm not talking about carrying out a big Bible and wearing a cross and saying, bless you to everybody in the office and anointing their office desk with super soaking oil when they're not looking. I'm not talking about doing all that. But I am talking about, listen, we got to get away from this thing. Like, we're supposed to shine as light in the darkness. Stop hiding your light under a bushel. Stop covering up behind all this fakeness and shine for Jesus Christ. Amen? So I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. See, so what happens to the person who says, come on, pastor, like, this sounds really legalistic. I just don't think it's that big of a deal. I don't think it matters that much. It really doesn't make that big of a difference. I don't think my heart is going to grow seeds that I put in it, pastor. I just don't think so. Well, here's the problem. Jesus disagrees with you. Right? This is not about legalism. Right? Oh, you're so legalistic. You think if I sow weeds in my garden, I'm going to get weeds. That's so legalistic. No, that's the truth. Legalism is rules without relationship. It didn't mean there weren't rules that we still need to follow. Amen. I'm not talking about rule-based. I'm talking about relationship. But when you're in a relationship, there automatically are principles and rules of you things you're going to do and not do because you're in a relationship with somebody. Amen. But it's all about what seed are you sowing in your heart, because you keep getting hurting and you keep failing and you keep struggling because you keep getting the harvest of all this wax seed. Stop sowing the seed. Get the right seed in there. Watch what God does in your life. What happens to a person who comes to church on Sunday? Does a little devotional thing every once in a while, but then spends 6 to 8 hours a day ingesting ungodly media. How strong is their faith really going to be? No, am I against media? No, I like media. I enjoy movies and films and all that kind of stuff. But I've made some decisions about guarding my heart. And there's some things that I go, that's the spirit of the world. That is not the spirit of my Lord and Savior. And I'm not going to just put that in for some fun and entertainment. Come on, if my walk with God and my spiritual faith is that weak, that I'm just like, oh, okay. You know, so there's some things, you know, we got, and parents with our children. We have a responsibility to guard their hearts because that's part of our responsibility till they come to an age. And right now we live in a time where it just seems like anything goes. I get some heat from my kids every once in a while because there's some things we turn off. There's some services we've cut off. And I've said that because I said, your heart is too important right now. And I'm not going to just stand aside while the spirit of the world sows all these seeds into your heart. Now, does that mean they can't watch anything? No, of course not, but we work with them on it. Are they frustrated with me sometimes? Definitely. I get some heat from my children sometimes. How come we can't watch that? So-and-so can watch that. So-and-so can watch that. I say, that's fine for them. This is our household, and in our household, we're not watching that. See, my job is to be my children's parent before I'm their friend. And if I will do a good job of being their parent, one day I'll have a great friendship with them. But if I abdicate my role as a parent because I want them to like me all the time, they are going to grow up hating me. Right? Like, guys, parents, come on. Step up on it in some ways. Right? Oh, they'll be mad. So what? What? Since when? I mean, come on. I know I'm talking to people. Come on. Oh, my kids are going to be mad at me. Amen. Okay, let's just go. All right, here's the point, guys. Let's get back to the GIGO principle. All right, you some of what the heck is this name of this message pastor's talking about? GIGO was a principle, an acronym I learned in grade 11 computer programming. You know what it stands for? Garbage in, garbage out. And see, here's the principle of it all, guys. You want to live in destiny, purpose, and calling. You want to honor Jesus. You got to stop putting garbage in because you keep getting garbage out. And you want to get other stuff out, but if you keep putting garbage in, you get God. Could we not flip that and go before God and make some decisions in our life? And instead of putting garbage in, getting garbage out, why can we not put God's stuff in and get God's stuff out? Right? But that's the way it works, guys. God is not mocked. What we sow, we're going to reap. So make a decision and say, God, I'm going to choose life. God, I'm going to choose. And you know, maybe I'd rather get to heaven and have Jesus say, yo, Brennan, you were a little radical on your watching and your listening habits. You didn't have to be quite so radical about that. You could have had a little bit more chill and whatever else. I'd rather Jesus say that than me get to heaven. Jesus said, do you know how much you missed out on what I had for you because you were totally undisciplined in what you put in your spirit? Let me show you what you should have done with your life. That's called the judgment seat of Christ. Yeah, but I really like binge watching that series. You can binge watch a series, or you can actually live a life that's more than watching somebody else live life. Come on. Now, someone says, okay, well, what should I watch? Listen, that's why you have the Holy Spirit. I'm not here today to be your spiritual film critic. You have the Holy Spirit. You go to the Word of God. You take verses like Philippians 4, verse 8. You go, is this true? Is it honorable? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it commendable? Is this what God has for you? You like, that's part of being spiritually mature. But please, can I just say this, and I got to stop. Don't do this mess of kind of like this pseudo-Google theology of why something's okay, and it doesn't even make sense. Well, to the pure, all is pure, and there's a verse over here that says this, and there's, yeah, you go that kind of theology. The Bible also says Judas went and killed himself. You can find another verse that says you go and do likewise. Right? Like, don't do the Google theology. Like, dig into the scriptures. But guys, listen, we're talking about, there's just certain things you go, yeah, this is not a God. This is Jesus died to save me from this. Why am I? All right, garbage in, garbage out. Let's move to God in, God out. Amen? That wasn't a good amen. Some of you are still not too happy with me right now, but that's okay. I love you anyways. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to start watching something this week. You're going to start listening to something this week. And you're going to hear my voice in the back of your head. Are you going to hear the Holy Spirit? And he's going to go, oh, what kind of seed? What kind of harvest are you reaping right now? Do you want a harvest on this seed? Do you want that coming back in your life? That's what I do. Right? I look at that, go, do I want that in my life? No, I don't want that in my life. Do I really need to watch? No, I don't need to watch. Let me go find something that is honorable. Let me go find something else. Why? Because I've got purpose, destiny, calling. I'm in a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's given his life for me. I'm following his path. I'm an apprentice of Jesus Christ. I'm trying to see how close I can get to him, not how close I can get to sin without sinning. I'm trying to pursue him with all my heart. I want to love him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I want him to be the fullness of everything. And so if there's a couple things I got to sacrifice, maybe I'm not rolling to the club with so-and-so, rolling to that part, whatever. It doesn't matter. Why? Because I'm going after Jesus. Amen. I got two amens. That's okay. I'll keep rolling. Here's the last thing I want to say to you. We're going to go to prayer. Daniel chapter 1. I'm not going to read it all. I had it referenced. But Daniel chapter 1 talked about four Hebrew boys who ended up in the middle of Babylon. And they were brought into the king's, you know, the king's chambers. There's a whole bunch of them brought into the king's, like, court. And they were going to, and one of the things that they had all this food started to be put in front of them. And they said, we can't eat this. Because it wouldn't be honoring to God. God's commanded us not to eat this. It's an Old Testament context, obviously. We bring it spiritually into the New Testament. So they ultimately, long term short, worked out and went to the king's man and said, listen, let us eat fruit and vegetables. Let us eat food that, you know, is kind of part of our faith. And the guy was really worried. He said, listen, the king will kill me if you guys, you know, the king was hardcore. They said, listen, give us 10 days, see what happens. So he said, 10 days. And they came back 10 days later. Instead of eating Babylon's food, they stuck with God's food. And they came back healthier, stronger. And it says in verse 20, it says, the king examined them in every matter of wisdom and understanding, but what the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in his kingdom. Guys, we can go into Revelation. We go to Revelation. Babylon is a type and a pattern of the spirit of the age. It is trying to feed you its food because it knows if it feeds you its food, it can control the way you think and it can water down the things of God in your life. And God is looking for some Daniels,
some Hananias, some Mishael, some Azariah. That's who they were before they came, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who are going to stand up boldly and say, I am not going to eat the food of the spirit of this age. I am not going to do that, but I am going to eat the word, and I'm going to eat the things of God, and I'm going to learn how to discern, and I'm going to learn how to filter, and I'm going to learn to do what I need to do. Why? Because there's a purpose and a calling that God has over my life because I'm in love with Jesus. But I want you to know, for those who will rise to this challenge, I believe there's a 10 times better anointing that's coming. God's saying, listen, I'm looking for my sons and daughters who will commit themselves fully, who will choose life, who will go all in, who will not have one foot on the boat and one foot on the dock and try and live like Jesus, but also live like the world, but say, I'm all in with Jesus. And I believe there's a 10 times better anointing that God wants to release. Why? Because he wants to bring light into this world so people who don't know him can come to him, and so there can be transformation and change, so his purposes will be fulfilled in our generation. But who will be like those Hebrew boys who say, I'm not going to go with the flow, but I'm going to stand firm? You guys see how this is so much bigger than when you're a Christian, don't watch this. Right? There was legalism around that and some different stuff in the past. I understand that. That's why I taught you the principle. Because then you can take the principle and you can discern. It's not about legalism. It's not about rules. It's about spiritual truth and spiritual principles that you learn to apply in your life. You can say, well, I'm going to violate that. I'm still going to put a bunch of mess in my life. We're just going to have lots of altar calls and lots of prayer meetings for you keep trying to get this harvest out of your life. At one point, you're going to go, I don't want this mess in my life anymore. I'm tired all the time. Why are you getting enough sleep? No, I'm not getting enough sleep. Okay, sooner or later, you're going to get tired of being tired. You're going to decide to get enough sleep. Now, that's a prophetic word for somebody or something. I don't know, but you understand what I'm saying. Okay, I gotta land this plan. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for a 10 times better anointing that you want to bring on your people, God, but it's not going to rise on those who are compromised by the food of Babylon. God, but it's going to rise on those who are eating the food of the kingdom, who are eating the food of the Spirit, God, who are not sowing to the flesh, but are sowing to the Spirit. And so I pray for a grace and anointing, not a legalism, God, but of holy passion to be in this place. I pray for Holy Spirit conviction to be in each one of our lives, and we'll just hear that still small voice. Turn that off. No, get rid of that. Delete that off your hard drive. Don't do that. Don't go there. Why? Because it's going to reap a harvest that you don't want in your life. You don't want in your family. You don't want in your children. You don't want in your household. God, I pray that we will be people that choose life. And that we will make some decisions, God, not out of a spirit of legalism, but out of a spirit of love and a spirit of wisdom. God, just speak to us. Work in us. And I thank you for just us being people who choose life. Come on, if that's your heart, you're just saying, God, I want your help to be someone who chooses life in these areas. I want you just to raise your hand wherever you are. You just say, God.